Bid y'all good morning.
Jeremiah chapter 8 is where my Bible is marked this morning. Jeremiah chapter 8. I'm going to read a verse here in a few moments. Let's jump on a point for our lesson. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome all those who are out with us here this beautiful Lord's Day. So glad that you're here. We do have visitors among us. We want you to feel welcome here at the Clarksville Church of Christ and hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We're to a part of our worship where we will worship our God by preaching and teaching His Word, but not just simply preaching and teaching it, but listening to it, feeding upon it, and making application to it in our lives as God would have us to do. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God, that God in all things may be glorified. And so I'm going to utilize a PowerPoint here to my left, and I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I've got to say here today. So your faith does not have to stand in the wisdom of some man, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, we had read so well a few moments ago. I'll point your attention to it one more time here today as we begin this lesson. The harvest is past, Jeremiah says. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. What a tragic statement for that to have said. You know, time goes by so quickly. I mean, it just seems like yesterday that this new year dawned, and now we're into the fall and ready for this year to end. I mean, these folks here in Jeremiah's day in Judah, they'd realized that, hey, you know, we've seen our sister country to the north, Israel, fall to the Assyrians because of the rebellion against God. Now Nebuchadnezzar is knocking on our door from the north, ready to come and to conquer us. And here all this time is passing, and God is being long-suffering toward us to repent. And here we are, the summer has now passed, and we are not saved. These folks realized, even as time sped by, that they were still lost. And so it is with many of us today. For whatever reason, we've not taken care of our souls like we should. And I ask you this morning to give some for a moment. The most precious thing that you have, your own immortal soul. Are you prepared to meet God? What I suggest to you here this evening, that these words in Jeremiah 8 and verse 20 could not be more aptly applied to you and I here this morning than if it had been written directly to us today in letter form. Because I want to tell you that the summer is now past. Had a little frost on the pumpkin this morning, didn't we? The summer is now past. And some of us are not saved. And I want us to think about that here this morning. Why might that be? Why is it that the summer's now ended and we're not saved? Well, there's four or five things that I'd like to talk to you about here this morning, and then we'll bring this lesson to a close. The first thing I want you to understand is because many of us think we're going to have more time. I mean, when it's all said and done, I understand that time has sped by, but listen, I'm young and I believe that I've got more time. James asks in James 4, verse 14, what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. I don't care how long it is from a calendar standpoint you live, your life is flying by, and it will soon be over. Life, no matter what length, just simply moves by. I had an acquaintance. I won't call him so intimately as a friend, although I was friendly to him, and he was friendly to me. He was about a year younger than what I am or what I was at the time. He lived down the road, around the corner in Old Pekin, where I grew up, and his name was Jimmy Campbell. And Mark may remember that name. He would have been a couple years younger than Mark. Mark's getting old, so he doesn't remember like he used to. But Jimmy woke up early one morning and went to his grandfather's house over around Bunker Hill in that Pekin, Salem area. His grandmother was doting over him because it was his birthday. And she had made him some cookies and lemonade. School was over. Matter of fact, school had been over for about 3 or 4 days, and it was summer. It was time to play. One of those most exciting times, at least for me, when I was that age. And he was especially excited because he was going to go fishing with his grandfather, a big farm pond that was on his grandfather's farm. And Jimmy had caught many large fish there in the past. He loved fishing. His granddad, they talked about the times that they were going to get together and fish more that summer. And most of the morning was spent in the days speaking of them ahead and the birthday cake that they knew secretly Grandma was sneaking around making to have once they returned. That day was a very special day. Not only was it a special day because it was Jimmy's birthday, but it was because it was an especially hot day that day. I remember it was even before climate change. I mean, it was summer, but it was starting to warm up, and it was an especially warm day for the month of May. And after they fished, Jimmy took off his shirt and asked his granddad if he'd go for a swim. And it was a little earlier than his grandpa usually would have allowed him to swim in the pond, but because it was so hot, and he said yes, and Jimmy jumped in to swim. And that was the last time Jimmy was seen alive. His granddad frantically searched for Jimmy. He did not surface after he died in. He searched for him in vain, but 45 minutes later, EMTs and those rescuers pulled his body from that farm pond with a grappling hook. That was a special day in Jimmy's life. But it wasn't because it was his birthday. It was because that was the day he was going to meet his Creator. It's the point a man wants to die. And then after that, the judgment. My guess is Jimmy didn't think it was going to be a special day for that reason, but nonetheless it was. Jimmy was 13 years old. Boast not of tomorrow, for you know not what tomorrow will bring. Look, you have allowed time, you've allowed another year to just fly by. The summer has ended and some of us are not saved. And my question is to you is why not? And if you're being very, very honest with yourself, it's because many of us think, well, listen, I'm going to have more time. I'll have more opportunities. Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while he can be found. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Some of us here have frittered the summer away thinking of other things than his and whom we have to do. And now the summer has passed and we are not saved. But also some of us just don't have the proper respect and fear for God. I was out one evening and a child was being told by his mother, eat, eat, eat that food. Eat your food right now. The mother was threatening, and I got to tell you, it was an embarrassing sight. For that child had no more respect, no more fear of the parents' threats than a man on the moon. So many of us and our citizens and our country here today have lost all the concept of God, rightly to Paul, right to the Gentiles in Romans 1 and verse 28, for they did not retain God in their knowledge. And but concerning eternal things, immortal things, spiritual things, we've lost that respect. We've lost the idea of fear of God. Solomon, after trying everything in this life, said, listen, let me tell you what the conclusion of the whole matter is. Fear God. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You better cultivate a good dose of godly fear in your life. Jesus said, don't fear him which is able to destroy the body, but unable to touch the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear that. That's some good advice. That's some good advice that the Savior's given. I preach a sermon sometimes entitled, Good Advice from Jesus, and that's one of them. Learn to fear God. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? Jesus asked in Mark 8 and verse 36. Look, the summer has now ended and many of us are not saved. And it is because we have lost the godly respect and fear that we should most appropriately have for our God. But also it's because we don't have the proper respect for his word. I mean, the Bible has lost its influence in the lives of many, even those professing themselves to be religious. Paul said all scripture has been given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for the things. He said it's profitable for your doctrine. That is, your policy, your practices, your beliefs, the principles that you live your life on.
The scripture is proper for that, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But the respect for God's word and what it says has been lost in our lives. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, according to divine nature, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has weighed in on the affairs of men, knows exactly how it is that we ought to live our lives. He's given us all things that pertain to this life, how you're going to live this life, be prosperous, be joyous, be happy, and have a life beyond the grave. But far too many of us have lost our proper respect and allowing that good book to have the influence in our life. I commend you to the word of his grace, Paul said, which is not only able to build you up, but able to provide you an inheritance among those which are sanctified. The word of God must be put back in preeminence. We must have the kind of respect for it we need to have, and we need to make application to it in our lives. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The words of God are your salvation. And people want to change it. People want to substitute for it. People want to soften it or ignore it. Add not unto the words which I spoke unto you, nor diminish aught from them, God said in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. Add not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou shalt be found a liar. Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach unto you anything else than we've already preached unto you, let it be accursed. John the Revelator said, add not unto the words of this prophecy, or add unto you the plagues that are written therein. Take not a word from this prophecy, or I'll take your name out of the book of life. It is a serious thing to mess around with the Word of God. My dear friends, the summer has ended and some of us are not saved. And then one of those reasons are, it's because we do not have the proper respect for God's Word. But also Christians have not remained faithful. And many have fallen victim of the theory of once saved, always saved. I mean, I've been baptized and I think I'm a pretty good person. Therefore, I think I'm all right. Get in that loop of feeling, and I feel this, and I feel that, or I think this, or I think that. Saved. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get back to having a proper reverence for God and a fear for God and a respect for his word, and his word doesn't say that. The word of God says that we must remain faithful. Salvation belongs to the Lord, Psalms 3 and verse 8. Not my feelings, not my thoughts, not the latest public opinion polls in the Wall Street Journal. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 62, whoever puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. I cannot become a Christian, call upon the name of the Lord, and then go back into living my same carefree life. Paul said in Colossians 1 and verse 20, talking about the fact that Jesus died for us, made peace through the blood of his cross to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. That's verse 22. Then verse 23 begins this way. If. It's a big if. If you continue in the faith, not moved away from that gospel of hope. The summer has ended, and some of us aren't saved because Christians have not remained faithful. Paul talks about that word, that gospel I preach unto you, wherein you've heard, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. If you continue in the things that I preach unto you, lest you believe in vain, Christians must continue to grow. What kind of spiritual growth have we had this year? As newborn babes desire to sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Have we remained faithful to the call the Lord has given us? To grow, to feed upon the word, to gather for ourselves a godly fear and a respect and a reverence toward God and his will. Of 2 John 9, whosoever abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Have we continued within the boundaries of the teaching of the Word of God? Have we let our light so shine before men that they might be able to see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven? heaven? Have we, like Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 10, not conformed ourselves to the world, but rather being transformed by the renewing of our mind? Are we sanctified people? Are we holy people in the sight of God? Jesus said, be thou faithful, even unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. The summer has ended, and we're still not saved because Christians have not remained faithful to the Lord. And finally, I want you to see this. Some have just simply not obeyed the gospel. The Hebrew writer exhorted us in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, to take earnest heed to the things we've heard. I mean, if the things spoken by angels were steadfast and every transgression received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape so great a salvation which was first spoken to us by the Lord and then confirmed to us by those who heard Him? How are we thinking we're going to escape and we're not going to obey that gospel? What I want you all to understand is that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 and Romans 3, verse 10. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23, a separation from God. We have separated ourselves from our Creator through our selfish will, our stubborn rebellion in regards to God and His dictates and His Word. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The fact that I've sinned and that He is what He has done to save me, that demands my attention, and that demands a reaction on my part. It demands me hearing what He has to say. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father comes to me, Jesus said in John 6 and verse 45. It demands my faith. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Matter of fact, I read in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For those who would come to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The things that God has done, who has put in place for my salvation, it demands that I hear those words and that I believe those words, and that no matter what it is that I'm doing that's contrary to the Word of God, I'm willing to change. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you will not turn from your ways and turn back to God and His ways, you shall perish. At this time of ignorance, God winked at Paul, said in Acts 17 and verse 30, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man who He foreordained and given all men assurance in that He raised him from the dead. That's Acts 17 verses 30 and 31. I must be willing to confess. Confess what? Confess Jesus. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. I read in Romans 10 and verse 10 that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I need to obey that gospel. Go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. The first time they went out and that gospel call was preached, and those people heard it, I read they were pricked in the heart and said, what are we going to do? And Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You may recall Saul of Tarsus that was asked in Acts 22 and verse 16, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Jeremiah preached to the people repentance. Nebuchadnezzar was knocking at the door. The Chaldeans were coming. Babylon was on its way. They'd already seen the Assyrians take their sisters, brothers from the north. Summer now passed, and they still weren't saved. Some of us here this morning find ourselves in the same condition because we think we have more time. We don't have the proper fear for God. We don't have the proper respect for His Word. We have not remained faithful. And some of us here have not obeyed the gospel. And what I want you to do here this morning is I want you to think about time, how quickly it goes, and how quickly your life will be over, and how soon it will be said that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body, whatever it is that we've done, whether it's good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, and ask you this morning, where do you stand? Where do you stand? Are you ready? Are you ready for that judgment day? If we've contemplated those things and we make the right application, I think our time will have been spent very profitably. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this morning. If there's something that we can help you with, whether it's obeying the gospel or something else that you may need of us that the Lord will allow us to do to help you to get back on the straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above, this is a wonderful opportunity to do it. We wish to do it for you, with you. We extend the invitation to all of you.